Blog Talk Radio.
I'm on chat now.
It's time to start.
All right, welcome to The Balance. I tell you what, Saturday morning would not be a Saturday morning without problems with my studio board. Hey, we normally have our Austin Powers things. We do all kinds of cool stuff here. We can't get things to work today. Buttons aren't working and everything else. So we're gonna be working on that as we go. But welcome to The Balance, my friends. It is Saturday morning with the number one sports talk show in the nation. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could take time out of Saturday morning to join us today and be a part of what is proven to be the greatest sports talk show in the world. So, you know, as always on Saturday morning, there's always got to be something funky going on here. But hey, guys, you know what? We got a jam-packed show for you today, and we're just in studio here. We're switching around. We're doing some switcheroo guru. But hey, you know, we're good behind the scenes. What you guys do not know, you do not want to know. That's for sure. Right here on The Balance. It is Saturday morning. My goodness, we got a good show planned for you today. At least we hope that we have a good show planned for you today. And I have been told now we have our buttons working. Yeah, baby, yeah. We have them working now. Woo! Now we're on target here. Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, my minions. Yeah, jam-packed show today, and I'm actually literally driving my producer crazy. She's running out of the building screaming. You don't want to know what she's screaming, guys, but it's not pretty. Oh, we've had server issues. We've had everything issue that could possibly go wrong today has gone wrong. But what do you do? It is what it is here. All right, coming up here at 9 o'clock, guys. We've got the points for Brady to talk to him. Luke Tanner's going to be on with us. We're going to talk a little NASCAR, IndyCar. 9:30. Here's where we're rolling the dice here. We are hoping that we're going to have Courtney Force on with us. We're going to talk a little racing. You know, she is the Danica Patrick of the NHRA and drag racing, obviously getting geared up for them to come here to the Indianapolis area as well. And then those of you that don't know, yes, the greatest show on earth originates right here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I am so glad that you guys are a part of it. At 9:45, though, now see, here's where we might be shifting. We might be talking some NFL at 9:30 if we can't get Courtney on the line with us. But definitely at 9:45, we're going to be talking some Colts football. We're going to be breaking down the Indianapolis Colts and the St. Louis Rams. And I tell you what, how good was that to see Peyton Manning back in the number 18, even though it was not the Indianapolis Colts uniform? It was a Denver Bronco. In one series, he looked okay. In my opinion, I don't know that he's entirely back to his normal speed. Phil B. Wilson of IndyStar.com is going to jump on board with us here and talk and break down the Colts and the Rams. We as much as we'd like to talk about Peyton Manning, you know, he's not a Colt anymore. So when we talk about Colts, we're going to be talking about Andrew Luck. We're going to be talking about Dwight Freeney, Reggie Wayne. We're going to be talking about Pagano. We're going to be talking all of that stuff, obviously, with the breakdown between the preseason game. First preseason, get a look at Andrew Luck, guys, and don't get too excited because I'm sure it's going to be a very brief look at Andrew Luck. But, hey, it's good to see him out there on the field. And then at 10 o'clock, starting the second hour of the show, we have Mr. Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com calling in on the hot joint of the week. And
I've been told this is a good one. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on there. And at 10:15, guys, Fantasy Football Huddle, the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle, and we'll be joined with all the guys there to break down your fantasy football, everything you want to know about fantasy football as we get ready for drafting, guys. You know, I had this whole big ceremony. So I'm going to tell you what, we are ready to begin the fantasy football season, and we have the Balanced Fantasy Football League ready to go, guys. So if you want to be a part of that, we're going to send out some invitations, and we're going to make that available. So very, very soon, we'll make a huge announcement on how you can be a part of the Fantasy Football League here on The Balance. And we do it every year. We've only got a limited amount of space, maximum of 14 teams. So first come, first serve. After that, guys, you just have to listen and say, dang, I wanted to play with El Presidente. But, you know, it is what it is, right? Oh, man. I tell you what, I'm looking at all different stuff here on my board here that, you know, is new and foreign to me. Things just change in the midst of everything going on in this world. So how about that? God bless the USA and the Olympics, huh? Really enjoyed the Olympics. I'm waiting. I'm standing by here waiting for Mr. Cliff Tanner to give us a call. Hopefully he will call us here very soon, and we'll get started with Race Talk, guys, because I tell you what, I am ready to restart this show over, guys. We'll be right back. Stick around. We're hopefully going to have the guys from Radio Speed Talk on the air with us. We're going to be talking some racing, and then hopefully at 9:30 we'll have Courtney Forrest talking some more racing. We're listening to The Balance right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Well, welcome back to The Balance here. Guys, I promise you, we're trying to get everything together here. It has been one of those things. All right, we're going to take a break, an actual commercial break.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
This week on Speed Talk, we recap Pocono, talk a little bit about record-breaking history in the NHRA, and we welcome back old friend of the show, Michigan International Speedway President Roger Curtis.
No, I always have time for you guys. No.
Calm down, man.
I went from being like the Ed McMahon of your show to I haven't been on now in, what, 5-6 years?
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, that's Pete's fault, just so you know.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
All right, welcome back to The Balance, my minions. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. It is that time of the week where we talk everything that goes fast. It is the fastest 30 minutes or an hour in radio. Joining me now, Mr. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk and $2 Bill Josh, as well as joining us a little bit early today. Cliff, are you with us today, brother?
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm making sloppy toast for 200 for a family reunion, and time got away from me. I apologize, but I'm here.
Sloppy Joes, man. I haven't had sloppy Joes in a long time. I love sloppy Joes. That to me is a good. And for a family reunion, my goodness, yeah. That sounds like the kind of family I want to be around, brother.
Come on,
sloppy,
up, man.
Sloppy Joes and Budweiser at the Tanner family reunion. Also, Mr. $2 Bill Josh is joining us a little bit early today. Josh, are you joining us? Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. How are you today, Tom?
I'm doing great, guys. And you know what? I think it's been one of those crazy Saturdays. I think somebody did a voodoo curse on me. My board wasn't working. I had to switch things around real quickly there. We had some other issues going on. It's just like it's like these little gremlins or something are inside our studio today and just causing total chaos. And I told them not to feed them after midnight. Remember the gremlins? All right. Well, and I'm not talking about the car, but I do remember the gremlin in the car. Yeah, you remember from Wayne's World the gremlin there, Cliff?
Oh yeah, I love the gremlins, man. That was one of my favorite cars when I was a kid. I tell you.
Let's dive right into this. Obviously, there's a lot of racing to talk about. And let's talk about a little bit of a recap from last week out at Pocono. Obviously, Jeff Gordon getting a huge win for him, one that he absolutely needed. And then we look at moving forward here to Watkins Glen this week. So go ahead and give us a recap of what you thought about the race once they finally got it started. And I also, here in a little bit, we want to talk a little IndyCar, but go right ahead there, Cliff.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it was a very interesting race. I mean, Dale Jr. early was just dominating that race, and unfortunately he ended his 21 race streak, of finishing on the lead lap, and he blew up. And then Jimmy Johnson kind of took over and dominated there, and then on a restart, him and Matt Kenseth got into it. And, obviously, poor Matt Kenseth, here he is second in points, and he gets wiped out and banged up a lot of people there. And then Jeff Gordon just got out front on some great pit strategy. And, you know, then you turn around and you got a rain shortened. And unfortunately, you know, I will say this, thoughts and prayers out to the families that where the guy got killed out in the parking lot, unfortunately got struck by lightning and injured, I believe, and ended up being 9. But Jeff Gordon needed this win. You know, rain shortened or not, a win is a win. That's the bottom line. Great job by them. Again, on the nationwide side, Elliott Sadler, I got to give kudos to him coming back from Indianapolis and getting, you know, hosed on that call. And then he turns around and wins this one. A great job by him. And I think Elliott Sadler is pretty much, to me, that's a statement, and he's going to win the nationwide.
Right. And I could, you know, I think we talked about this with one of you guys on this very show about Elliott Sadler actually being a true contender for the nationwide title race. Josh, real quickly, any thoughts on last week's Pocono race?
I've heard some rumors this week, and I don't think it's necessarily true. I think it's some angry NASCAR fans. Cliff, please tell me you agree with me if Jimmy Johnson didn't put Matt Kenseth into the wall just to hand that win to Gordon.
I, Say that one more time. I want to make sure I answer this properly. I don't want to.
I've heard some indications or fans talking on different websites and different blogs and different shows this week that Johnson put Kenseth into the wall just so Gordon would get the win. Please tell me you don't agree with that.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, first of all, Jimmy Johnson wouldn't give up a race to anybody. You know, NASCAR fans are like this. It's kind of, and I know a lot of people get mad at me when I say this, but I equate it to WWE fans. If there's not controversy, it's not worth it. You know what I'm saying? Bottom line is, it was good racing between Kenseth and Johnson, and he just got loose and came up into Kenseth and spun him out. Jeff Gordon really had a strong, you know, a decent car that day, and he was, you can see he was getting stronger. Had it went the full 400 miles, I think he still might have won that race, although Jimmy was pretty dominating. But then again, you got to look at the Hendrix part of all that, because if one transmission goes out, are the other ones going to go out?
Well, and I absolutely agree with Cliff on this. I don't think Jimmy Johnson, and we know how competitive he is. I don't see him actually at all doing that. And they're not even really. I don't know that they are. Cliff, and you might disagree with me on this, but I don't know that they're as tight in the racing community that a lot of people want them to believe. You know.
No, I don't believe they are. It's just a persona that they give out. And you know, Jimmy Johnson's a great driver, don't get me wrong, but I've watched him interact with fans, and I think he's a butthead sometimes. I don't like the way he treats people. But, you know, Hendrix is probably the tightest group you will ever see as far as, you know, you don't do anything outside, you know, to mess things up. You all act like you get along, whether you hate each other or not. But, I mean, let's face it, a lot of people don't realize still that Jeff Gordon is part owner of Jimmy Johnson's, you know, car. So, obviously, you know, Gordon's going to get more money the better he does, obviously. But, yeah, you know, again, if Jimmy Johnson was down a lap or two and then he put Kenseth in the wall to make that a win, I could give that a little bit of feasibility. But right now, no, there's no way. Jimmy Johnson has said more than once he wants to be a seven-time winner, and he wants to break that at eight. And I'll tell you what, man, if these guys keep going the way they're going to do it, and as young as he is, I will be shocked if he doesn't get eight or nine championships.
Are we talking about Jimmy Johnson?
Yes, I'm talking about Jimmy Johnson. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, no, no, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I do want to touch on this just real quickly, just because this is kind of breaking news, if you will. Allmendinger says he took a pill because he was tired. And it's to me, and I know you guys have talked about it on your show, we've talked about it on this show, we've really beat it to death. But for the longest time, A.J. Allmendinger said he didn't take anything. Didn't know they took anything. He didn't do anything. And now when all the dust is settled and it's all cleared and he's trying to make a good name for himself because he knows, and you said it on your show, Cliff, that he's done. He's over. I mean, once this happens, it's done. It's over. And I don't see that he's ever going to get into a car. He's never going to get a sponsor. So now he's trying to do damage control and basically said he tested positive for the prescription Andreol, which he took because he was tired. And he explained that he had been out in Louisville the Wednesday before the Quaker State 400 and was just simply tired.
Well, I got to tell you, to me, the guy's an idiot. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, I talk about Barry Bonds in the past. I've talked, you know, on the sports show that I've done. I talk about all kinds of athletes. And the bottom line is, for you to sit there and tell me, you know, I didn't know what I took, and then you turn around and take something that you don't even know what it is, come on. I mean, that's just crazy. But you're right. He got the death sentence. There ain't any sponsor in NASCAR is going to want to touch you. He may end up with a low ride, maybe in Nationwide sometime, or maybe even ARCA, or he may go back to the dirt track. Who knows? But, yeah, I'm sorry. As far as I'm concerned, AJ, you're an idiot. You had the opportunity to be good. You know, you finally got with a good team, and to me, that's just stupid to take something because somebody says, here, this will pick you up.
Exactly. Well, we move on. Obviously, we're moving on into Watkins Glen, and we've just got a short amount of window here where we could talk about Watkins Glen because I want to fit into some IndyCar talk. But one question for you, will Jeff Gordon make the four Hendrix car in the chase, yes or no? Is Gordon going to make the chase, and will there be four Hendrix cars in the chase this year?
Well, points-wise, he's got a long way to go. I don't think he's going to make it point-wise. He's going to need at least three wins to make the wild card. And obviously we're going to Watkins Glen. He's always had good history there. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, that was a big boost, again, whether it was rain short or not. But do not be surprised if Jeff Gordon does not go back-to-back.
I like Watkins Glen. And talk to us about that as we go into that. Obviously, the top three speeds in practice today so far, Clint Bowyer, 125.462. Marcus Ambrose is up there again, 125.220. And Carl Edwards, 125.064. Talk to us about that. And you know what? I'm jokingly say, well, you know, Marcus Ambrose is up there again at 125. But, Clint, when you and I were up there in Michigan, he was hitting – close to 200 miles an hour to hit the pole. I mean, come on. Can he go any faster?
Well, you know, you got a point there, but, you know, you got to realize there is no way you could hit that speed when you're taking all kinds of curves and, you know, going over bumps and things like that. 125 for Watkins Glen is pretty good. And, you know, Marcus Ambrose is a guy to watch. I mean, he's always been good on road courses, and they always build him a good car, but he doesn't seem at times, I mean, granted he's won one, but it just seems like he has bad luck when it comes to crunch time. And Clint Bowyer has come out of nowhere in a Waltrip car on top of that this year, and he's becoming a pretty doggone good road racer. And Carl Edwards, I don't know, man. I mean, the guy can drive, don't get me wrong, but, man, I tell you what, if it wasn't for bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all.
I know that feeling. Well, let's talk about Watkins Glen. You know, obviously this could be another day where there could be all kinds of weather. They've seen some rain there this week. It could be sunny. And, you know, I think Dale Jr. is also gambling on a good opportunity here at Watkins Glen. And let's not discount Dale Jr. He obviously is in this for to win it all this year. And I like the way Dale's turned his things around. So talk to me a little bit, Clip, about what's going on at Watkins Glen this week.
Well, again, you know, you always see guys, and I'm sorry, I'll say it again. To me, I'm not a big fan of road racing in NASCAR. Now, you talk IRL and some of the other classes, you know, I love to watch it. You know, it's just come to the point where, and again, they've realized that you got to, in order to win the championship, you got to be good at these places. Guys are getting better. They're getting smarter. And, you know, it's got to be tough for like Dale Jr. because he's not historically good on these. But I got to tell you, though, I would not be surprised if he wasn't in the top 10, top 5, because you can see a look in that man's eyes that he has got his eye on the prize. I honestly don't believe he's going to be able to do it as far as winning the championship this year, but he's going to be doggone close. But that's going to give him a heck of a boost going into next year. If he maintains what he's doing now and he can do well at Watkins Glen, he can go. But I'm telling you, you got to be good at the road courses. They're all starting to learn that. Again, I'm not a big fan, but Watkins Glen, of all the tracks, is probably one of my favorites.
Well, and you look at the road courses, and I don't see this as much as we used to. I think we do see it from time to time. But used to be, you know, a few years back, an owner would pull out, you know, would pull their normal driver out and put a new driver in. You know, that's how Carl Edwards kind of really got his groove into things. He was kind of that guy that drove the road course, and you know, they'd pull the normal driver out, put a guy who's really experienced in driving a road course just for that particular race. But I think as the years have evolved with the road courses with NASCAR, the drivers have gotten more of the ability to do that.
And you're right. And let's face it, the real reason that you brought in ringers is because of the sponsors. You got to do well in order to keep sponsorship money. That's the bottom line. But as time has gone, especially since they went into the championship with the last 10 races and everything, everybody realized that if you want to maintain, you've got to do that. And I think that guys have gotten better. They've learned a lot better. And obviously the crews have really, you know, come together and really built some good cars. And because of that, you're not going to see the ringers that you do. Now, you'll see a lot more ringers in the nationwide side than you will on the sprint.
Right. Josh, thoughts on Watkins Glen, the road course? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I personally look for Jimmy Johnson to make another dominant statement this weekend. But, Cliff, I have to agree with you on road coursing in NASCAR is bad. And I know we're getting ready to get into IndyCar in a minute, but I'm going to go ahead and predict right now A.J. Allmendinger next year starts the Indianapolis 500 in the KLV in the KLV team.
Josh. I don't know. I think no, but yeah, you know, Cliff, thoughts?
I got to tell you, you know, and I have to agree with you, man, because I thought I could see that happening. Now, what seat it, he goes in, I don't know. I would not be surprised to see him in an IndyCar next year.
Wow. All. I guess I stand corrected. I absolutely could not see anybody a year out. I mean, maybe a couple years, but a year out. Wow.
Well, you know, maybe he'll get a sponsorship from, you know, the eight or what do they call it, HD or whatever, because that's what Adderall's for. Obviously, is for, you know, people that have ADD or whatever. So maybe he'll get a sponsorship from that association. Who knows? But. Allmendinger's a good racer, and I could see him picking up because, I mean, let's face it, not to take nothing from IRL, but, you know, the more big names you can get in it, the better off for the IRL, period.
Well, you know, obviously they've lost a big name, but, you know, rumor has it that she'll be back for the 500 next year, and then, you know, we have the whole discussion about Hinch getting pulled out of the GoDaddy car. They better not do that. You know, I like Hinch, and I enjoyed listening to him on your show last week. Of course, he was here through your show on the Balance Radio Network. Great interview, great fun guy to talk to. I hope that they stand their ground. And Danica could come back and race at the 500 if she thinks that she needs to do that. But gosh darn it, don't put her in the GoDaddy car. And I'm telling you, that's going to honk a lot of people off, like myself. Hinchcliffe needs to stay in the GoDaddy car in IndyCar. That's my thoughts there.
I totally agree with you. Granted, she's the GoDaddy girl. And I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see two GoDaddy cars somewhat, but I agree. And Hinchcliffe, I got to tell you, man, it was a great interview. It was fun. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. It was just great because he was so open and such a great guest that, you know, I got to tell you, man, he's become my new favorite in IRL. I got to tell you.
I like him. I like him a lot. I've met him many times. And here's what I like about James is, and Josh, you know this just from, you know, the years that you've kind of hung around the show here. But you know, I always said, and you know, that's why in tonight we're going out to Anderson to watch Josh Timmerman race down there. I like, you know, getting to know these young drivers because they don't forget you as they move up the ranks. And I remember just meeting James Hinchcliffe. Nobody knew who he was down in the Indy Light Series, and he really wasn't doing much anything, really kind of was. And that was kind of – he was kind of new, and he was standing around there. And I actually had to look at his belt just to see his name when I went over to talk to him. You know he's a driver because he's wearing a fire suit. You may not know who he is, but, you know, when you're trying to talk to somebody, you know, you have a much better shot at grabbing an Indy Lights driver than, you know, David Ostella, another good friend of mine, you know, in the Indy Lights series. But so I met James and talked with him many times when he came here to Indianapolis and other races that I covered through the Indy Lights series. Same thing with Pippa Mann. And so I enjoy that. And James is that kind of guy, and you've talked to him. He's exactly the same guy that he was down in the Indy Lights series. And I love it. I love his success, and he's doing a great job.
And I got to tell you, man, and that's the way it is in any racing series because, you know, we've covered ARCA, we've covered Indy Lights, we've covered just about any of the minor leagues coming up. And you're right. I mean, we talked to Trevor Bain several times before he became the Daytona 500 champion. Great kid. They're all great. And you're right, Tom. I mean, that's the thing. You talk to these young drivers because they remember you as you go up. And Timmerman, man, I tell you what, just a great kid. And I hope his dream of where he wants to go in racing comes true because I'll tell you what, I really don't think I've ever met a harder working man in racing than Josh Timmerman.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you, man. With you more, and you know, we're looking forward to get down there to Anderson tonight and watching him. We're gonna, after the show, we're gonna go to the fair. I mean, you got to go to the state fair here in Indiana, and you got to get loaded up on food, and then we're gonna head down to the Anderson race, and we're gonna hang out there, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with him after the race. And he's struggled a little bit there at Anderson, but hopefully this will turn around for him as well. So, and Josh is a listener of the show, and he's a good fan of the show, and so we appreciate everything that he does for the show as well. Well, let's get into IndyCar this week, and I want to talk with you a little bit about this new schedule, Cliff and Josh. What do you think about the extended IndyCar, possible IndyCar schedule coming up? And obviously, there's not really a race this weekend. We know there's not a race until the 26th when they go to Sonoma. But I do want to talk a little bit about IndyCar, just because of this new trend where we're really seeing IndyCar trying to compete with some of the bigger race series. When I talk about like NASCAR and some of the other race series.
Well, quite honestly, first of all, I think it's a smart idea on their part because they do have a limited, what's the word I want to use? You know, they don't get out as much as they should, you know, and the way racing has become in the IRL, I think if they go to more places, the popularity is going to come back. Because let's face it, it was great popularity until the split, you know, with them and CART. And they come back, and it just seemed to lose its luster. And, you know, in the last couple of years, I mean, let's face it, the Indy 500 has been some good racing going on. So I think it's a smart idea for them to expand. They need to do that in order to get their fan base back up.
I absolutely agree. Now, what my thing is, and Josh, you can hammer in on this too, where are they going to race at? I mean, you look at – I mean, does Michigan bring back IRL? I mean, where are they going to race at? Is there a race at Pocono for IndyCar? I mean, is some of these tracks that are currently using NASCAR, are they going to dual up like some of the other tracks do? And where would they race at? Where would they add the extra races at?
If I could take this one first.
Hold on just a quick second, Josh. I think we do have a guest on the line with us. Is this Courtney?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Courtney. Joining us now is Courtney Force, and I'm so glad that you could take some time to join us. Cliff Tanner from Radio Speed Talk is joining us as well, and our co-host throughout the show, Mr. $2 Bill, Josh. Well, congratulations on your big win last week, Courtney.
Thank you. Tell us
a little bit about that and what's going on with that.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for us. I mean, we struggled a little bit, you know, just trying to get the car qualified Friday and Saturday. But, I mean, we had a good, you know, consistent race car all day on Sunday. And, you know, that's the most important thing going into race day. You know, you got to keep the car consistent, get it down the racetrack, and hope for that win. We were able to do it four times in a row. So it was a good weekend for us. It was definitely a big win. I think I was more in shock than anything.
Well, Courtney, I tell you what, it is an honor to have you on the show with us. Obviously, and you know, your dad's been on the show here too with us before. Totally surprised us one day, and we were expecting somebody else, and your dad called in. So we love talking with John. Now, what do you think that people call you the Danica of the NHRA? What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, I've actually never heard that, but I mean, I'll take it. I'm a female in motorsports, so I guess I could see that. No, I mean that's awesome. I mean, she's a big name over in NASCAR, and I'm hoping to, you know, do big things over in NHRA. So I'm all right with that.
Cliff, any thoughts there for Courtney or anything on questions for Courtney for us?
Well, Courtney, I mean, obviously this is a big boost for you, and you've been right there. Talk about a little bit, if you can, for people that don't know much about NHRA. Obviously, people think that, you know, you got to go faster than everybody else, but talk about, you know, you got to get your timing down and everything, well, you know, once the light hits.
Yeah, I mean, these are 8,000 horsepower cars. They're going 300 miles an hour in only 4 seconds. So a lot can happen in a short amount of time, and you really got to be on track as a driver, you know, and you got to have a good team and crew chief behind you that tunes your car just right to the you know, the racetrack and the conditions. So every little movement counts in the car. I mean, you really got to be quick off the line as a driver. And, I mean, that little bit of advantage just right off the starting line can really, you know, let you win only by inches at the other end.
Well, and Courtney, you certainly have had some of the best mentors in the industry. Obviously, your dad and your sister Ashley have really coached you along the way. What are some of the things they're telling you as you go into your rookie year and you're really starting to make a name for yourself? And you know, you're really obviously the Auto Club Rookie of the Year candidate, and you're really starting to make a name for yourself. I mean, you have the name Force behind you, but you really have to get out there and prove yourself. So what are some of the things that John and Ashley have been coaching you and teaching you and showing you along the way?
Yeah, well, there's always that little added pressure being that I have the first name and, you know, trying to follow my dad and my sister's footsteps. Those are some big shoes to fill. So, I mean, I'm doing the best I can just learning from them and, you know, taking all the advice that I can from them. My dad, you know, told me at the beginning of the season, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, a lot of people are going to expect you to just go out right out of the box and do well. And, you know, you can't really, you know, you can't crack under pressure. You just got to take it slow and just got to learn from your mistakes. So he's actually been pretty patient with me. I mean, he throws advice at me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's a little overwhelming at times, but I mean, he means well. And I mean, I've definitely learned a lot from him and Ashley. Ashley has actually, you know, been great to break down what my dad's trying to tell me in simpler terms. And just making that transition from the dragster to the funny car this season, she's been amazing, you know, helping me with that.
Josh, do you have anything for Courtney? I guess we lost Josh. But Josh disappeared on me, and I didn't even know it. Well, one of the great things, obviously, Courtney, you're driving one of the most powerful race cars in the world, a hybrid Mustang capable of 0 to 315 miles per hour in just 4 seconds. I got to ask you, what does that feel like? I mean, do you think that is – once you got in there and you felt that for the first time, was it everything you thought it would be?
Definitely. I mean, it's a little overwhelming. You know, the first time you hit that throttle, I think I lifted off of it immediately. I was so overwhelmed by, you know, that horsepower and that feeling leaving the starting line. But, I mean, I couldn't see anything. You know, when you hit the throttle, so much is happening behind you in just a short amount of time. I think 1 second is, I don't even remember now. It's just so fast. I mean, it's so overwhelming. It's hard to break it down and explain. But, I mean, after making enough passes and the more and more times you get it down the racetrack, your eyes really start to kind of catch up with you. And I mean, it's tunnel vision going down the racetrack. You don't see a whole lot, but, you know, you learn where you are on the racetrack. You figure it out and helps you to learn how to drive that race car. I mean, it just takes a lot of seat time and a lot of practice.
So, you know, you had an opportunity to actually have a victory over your father. Tell us about that.
Yeah, of course, I had to race my dad in the semifinal round, which was a lot of fun. We both kind of sat there in the bus before that round, quiet. I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting, you know, let's battle it out and see what happens. And it's always fun racing him. I think he gets all nervous because I'm his kid, but he left on me on the tree. He was doing better than me off the starting line, but I mean, I lucky for me, I had lane choice, and it seemed to be really important at that track in Seattle. So everyone was smoking the tires over in the right lane, and the left lane seemed to be, you know, running pretty good. So I was excited. I mean, getting my car down the track ahead of him and seeing that wind light come on. I know he needed the points more than I did on that round, but it was a big, you know, big round win for us, and making it into the final and into the winner's circle was. It was a great day. It's always tough running against Dad, but it's always definitely, you know, a lot of fun just running him, being my father, and being a 15-time champ. It's always exciting getting that win light.
Well, I can only imagine. Clip, do you have any thoughts on that? Can you imagine racing your dad in a race? And I mean, does he get mad? Does he ground you? What's he do, Courtney?
No, I think he finally got over that. I mean, the first time we ran each other, we just made a lot of fun about it, you know, at dinner, just cracking jokes about it. He'd always give me a hard time for beating up on him, especially this last weekend. He's like, you're really making it really hard for me to get into that top 10, you know, and I'm like, well, then you should have won the round. So it's just, we just have fun with it. I'm 6th in points right now, and he's 10th, so we just kind of poke fun at each other. But, I mean, he's taught me everything I know about racing, and I'm like, you can't be mad at me. I'm doing what you taught me.
Well, you absolutely are living your dream. That's for sure. And you know, I can't imagine a better life for a young 23-year-old like yourself, because you know all your friends are out doing other things or going to parties, and they're doing the things that you typically wouldn't. Of course, you've been raised in and around racing, going to racetracks your whole life. So you know, but wow, what a great experience it is for you. But you're gearing up. You're coming out here to Indianapolis. Obviously, we're based here in Indianapolis, the Lucas Oil NHRA Nationals. That's got to be big for you. That's got to be one of the biggest things that of your life and your career to this point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Indy being the big go, you know, it is one of the biggest races of the season, and all the drivers look forward to that. But there's so much added pressure that it is, you know, the big Indianapolis race. But it's, you know, we're excited going into it. We're hoping to get locked into the countdown at the end of that race, and it's really going to be a, you know, a big day for everyone at Downforce Racing. So I'm excited. My sister's done well there, you know, in the past few years. So I just hope we can get our Traxxas Ford Mustang in the show and go some rounds.
Cliff?
I got to ask you, Courtney, over a year ago we talked to you, and you told me you were ready to jump in into the big dog league, and you wasn't sure if your dad was going to let you. But here you are. Talk about, I mean, did you really believe you would get your first win this year?
No, I honestly didn't. I mean, the start of the season, I was so nervous going in. You know, I did testing all last season in the funny car, but, you know, you never know if you're actually ready to get in until someone, you know, you just get thrown out there and you see what happens. And that's pretty much what we did. My dad told me, you know, at the beginning of the season, this is, you know, the whole season, you're taking this, you know, one step at a time. You're just going to be learning in the seat of the car. And, you know, my biggest goal was just to get qualified at most of the events, if not all of them. And we've done that so far. And being that we're sixth in points and gone to three final rounds and already won a race, it's definitely gone way better than I expected. I mean, I have a great team and great crew chief, Ron Douglas and Dan Hood. So I think I just set my standards a little low for myself. I guess I just didn't expect that we'd do so well, you know, so far this season. And I'm happy with it. I'm learning a lot. I'm still learning every time I go down the racetrack. So it still is a learning curve. Even though we got that win under our belt, it's you know, it's still going to be a long season.
Well, Courtney, we appreciate you joining us. We're joining us now on the balance. And coast to coast, by the way, Courtney Forrest is so glad that you could take time on your Saturday morning to jump on the radio with us. You know, all I can tell you is that we both have faces for radio, so there's a reason we're behind the mic and not inside the car. So I have all the respect in the world for you. Now, here's the thing, Courtney. I know you grew up as a track kid, and I recently read an article when I was preparing for this interview for you over on ESPN, you know, you grew up as a kid, grease all over you, and you loved it, and that was just the kind of life that you did. But you also made a point of saying that you remember, you know, seeing your dad flip over, catch on fire, and you know, just, you know, making sure that your dad was okay. Knowing that this, what I mean, we all kidding aside, I know it's a great experience for you, but when you get inside that car, really, it's a very, very dangerous situation, and anything could happen, especially in the funny cars. Did that ever come to play? Did you ever say, you know, hey, you know, that scares me a little? Did that come into play at all when making your decision to come to this level and to do what you're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching my dad race, and he's been in a lot of accidents, and, you know, it didn't seem like a big deal as a kid because dad always, you know, walked away and was fine and had a couple of scratches and bruises, and it was, you know, no big deal. But definitely reconsidered it, you know, back in 2007 when my sister was just starting off her rookie year in funny car. We had lost our teammate, Eric Medlin, and then my dad goes out and crashes his car only 3 months after, and you know, nearly died from that experience. So, I mean, it was very overwhelming as a kid, you know, watching your dad go out there and have all that happen all in one season. We all took a step back. You know, we tried to go, you know, we worked with the technology with Ford and our teams and just trying to put together a safer race car. And you know, I think that's been the main thing. I obviously rethought if this is what I wanted to do, knowing how dangerous it was and witnessing all that. But I believe we have safer race cars. It's always a little nerve-wracking getting in a you know, a 300 mile per hour car, because, I mean, anything obviously can happen. But I feel pretty safe in my race car. I mean, I'm happy. I'm excited to be in it. And, I mean, there's always that, you know, that little thought in the back of your head. But, I mean, you can't let that deter you from, you know, everything that you believe in your life. And, you know, this is what I want to do. And I don't want anything holding you back. I mean, you can go out and, you know, pick another profession and anything can happen to you. So I just got to be fearless and just go out and do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, here at radio, we worry about spilling coffee on us, man. I'm with you. It's a very dangerous. Anything can happen in any line of work. We're joined with us by Courtney Force, obviously daughter of John Force and sister of great Ashley Force. Anything else you want to – I know you got a very busy schedule. We appreciate you taking time to join us today. Is there anything – I always like to open up the door to our guests. And is there anything that you want to say that we haven't asked you? Where can we find you on Facebook, stalk you on Twitter? Or anything like that.
Yeah. You can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter. It's at Courtney Force. Also, the Traxxas Shootout's coming up. People can vote for me to get me into the last spot in the Traxxas Shootout. It's all up to the fans. And I think they're drawing the winner right before the Indy race. But the voting starts right after Brainerd, which is next weekend. And you just go to NHRA's Facebook and you can vote there.
All right, we'll make sure that we get that up on our Twitter and all of our stuff so that people, all of the minions can vote for Courtney. And, Courtney, you got my vote for what it counts for. You got my vote before Mitt Romney. How's that sound?
Thank you.
All right, Courtney Force, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to meeting you and talking with you when you get here to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you. Courtney Force, of the Great Force name, of the Great Force Nation, of the Great Force family. What a great interview that was, Cliff. And I know you got to go as well. And we're going to be talking some Colts here in a moment with Philip B. Wilson of the Indianapolis Star. We're going to be talking about the Colts and the Rams. Cliff, any thoughts on Courtney or any final thoughts of what's going on your show tomorrow? Well, it'll be on tomorrow here on the Balance Radio Network. Sorry. It's already done, guys.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Courtney Force, I got to tell you, man, I am impressed. And I mentioned this on the show. We talked about her a little bit about that. And a lot of people don't realize, too, I just want to point this out, Tom, that two females won last week at Seattle. Erica Enders also won the Pro Stock. So they had two of the three classes that were racing were women. So, you know, you can say what you want. The NHRA is a little bit different, but women can dominate in that sport. But Courtney impressed me. She got her first win. I didn't think she would. And I got to be honest, man, if she keeps racing the way she is, I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't get in the top three of the points before the season's out. But she has got a great career coming, and you know, she's right. Basically, she's had great mentorship. So, you know, in John Force Racing, I mean, they're winners anyway. But a good job, and being 22 years old, she's got a nice career coming up for her.
Oh, fantastic interview, and I appreciate, you know, I love what you guys do for our show. You guys help us up and get us the hook up, and you know, I can promise you this much, guys. When you're here in town for the NHRA, we're going to take some time after that race, and we're going to go over to the Rib Fest, and we're going to make that happen for you guys. It's a payback for you. How's that sound? I know you guys are wanting to go over there to some concerts and all that stuff over there. So, you know, I think Pete just wants to go over there and eat the ribs. I mean, he says it's about a concert, but
Well, I got to be honest with you, man. The ribs, I didn't know nothing about the Rib Fest until you just said something. So,
there we go.
I could go for that.
Well, the Rib Fest is going on the same weekend as the NHRA, and if you're in town with Pete and stuff, we'll get you over there to the Rib Fest. Well, we got to go because we got to talk some really important business about the Colts at their first preseason game. We saw Peyton Manning earlier this week, a little glimpse in the Bronco uniform against the Bears. Did you happen to see that game there, Pete?
Well, I don't know. Pete's not here.
I said, Pete. Cliff, I don't know why. Definitely not Pete. You're definitely not Pete.
No, I did not see it. I hear he did throw an interception, but come on, people, give Manning a break, man. And, you know, for what he's gone through, and you know, I'm sorry, that guy still, as good as he is, has got to be worried because one hit could paralyze that guy because you don't know where his neck's at. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He may not get the Broncos to the Super Bowl, but he'll get them to the playoffs, no doubt in my mind.
All right, Mr. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, good to have you on board with us. Where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
Well, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. You can actually catch us on Facebook. Just go Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. And I'm on Twitter at RadioSpeedTalk2, and you can get Kenny Barr at KennyBarr52. Check us out. And, Tom, I do want to say this. Thank you for helping us out, man. I mean, you know, we work together. We always get some good shows, some good guests. And, you know, you and your crew do a fantastic job, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk joining us on a Saturday, guys. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with Phil B. Wilson, $2 Bill Josh. We're going to break down tomorrow's game, the Colts and the Rams, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
This week on Speed Talk, we recap Pocono, talk a little bit about record-breaking history in the NHRA, and we welcome back old friend of the show, Michigan International Speedway President Roger Curtis.
Oh, no, oh, no, hey. I didn't, I always have time for you guys,
Calm down, man,
I went from being like the Ed McMahon of your show to, I haven't been on now in, what, 5-6 years?
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, that's Pete's fault, just so you know.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Tom Marcus, I'll tell you what, I do not know what's crawled in my board today, but the Gremlins are out and about in full force. I'm going to tell you, speaking of force, Miss Courtney Force, what a great interview that was to have her on with us. Real quickly, do we have Phil? Are you on the air with us now?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, buddy. I don't know what happened there. We'll get to you here in just a second. We got $2 Bill Josh. We're going to talk some Colts, guys. But what a great interview that was with Courtney Force, obviously daughter of the great John Force and sister Ashley Force, with her first win in the NHRA, obviously the Funny Car Series. Going to be out here at Lucas Oil Raceway here in a very short period of time, next week, I believe, for the NHRA Nationals. Phil, have you ever gotten out there to see the drag races out there at Lucas?
Yeah, I've covered it a couple times, and I think I'm going to cover it this year. It's Labor Day weekend. It's a real good show.
Well, you know, it's a toss-up between there and the Rib Fest, and I was just telling Cliff from Radio Speed Talk, who's going to come down, I told him, I said, you know, you hook us up with some pretty good interviews, so I'm going to take them over to the Rib Fest after the race. So, you know, you got both things going on here in Indy, and the Rib Fest is just as big as the Indianapolis 500, Phil.
Good food, man. Good eating.
Oh, man. Good eating, good drinking, and good music. Well, anyway, let's get to the point of hand. Obviously, Indianapolis Colts take on the St. Louis Rams. We saw a little peek, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about Peyton Manning because we've just beat that Peyton Manning horse to death. He's with another team. He's not with the Colts. No flashy news there. He was out on the field against the Chicago Bears, and they had him with one series. They didn't really want to risk injury. I thought that he looked okay. I don't know. He connected with Tammy, and it was good to see that he was he's got some chemistry there. I wasn't totally impressed. Preseason, I know it means nothing, but it was a little cameo sneak peek. Real quickly, what were your thoughts about Peyton Manning against the Bears the other night?
Yeah, I like what I saw. I converted a third down pass for a first if they got a holding penalty, and they would have scored if Brandon Stokley didn't cough the ball up. He coughs it up near the goal line and gets it intercepted. That's one of his safety valves from the Colts days. But, I thought Peyton showed something. I mean, he still got it. The question will be his longevity and how long he can play, if that neck will hold up.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, there's going to be some Colts that are wearing a Colts uniform tomorrow that won't be wearing one in the following week. Let's talk about the trim down, the trimming of the fat. Where are the Colts at? Obviously, we know about Luck. We know about Freeney. We know about Wayne. We know that they're there. You know, obviously, Luck is still learning learning the playbook. I don't know that we're going to see much of him. Do you think we'll probably see one or two snaps in tomorrow's game? Just kind of give us a breakdown on what we can expect to see as a Colts fan against the Rams tomorrow.
You're going to see Luck more than you think. He's going to play anywhere from 18 to 25 snaps from what Chuck Pagano and Bruce Arians have said. So Peyton Manning played a full half in his 1998 rookie debut in each of the four preseason games. I expect Luck to play in the second quarter, if not the first half, depending on how it goes. If he does real well, in two or three series, then they might get him out of there after 15, 20 plays. But I expect to see him a good long time. I expect to see a defense on the field for a while. Freeney tends to get out of there early, but he's learning a new position. So I would expect him to play in the second quarter as well. A lot of guys they want to take a look at. There's 11 cornerbacks in this roster, so they're going to want to look at all those guys. There's a lot of wide receivers that are young that need to get out there and show what they can do. And there's some running backs. There's an extra running back on that roster, Desi Kareem is trying to fight his way into, to get a job. So you're going to see a lot of guys hungry, trying to prove some of the coaches that they need to stick.
Well, I tell you what, let me ask you a little bit about Austin Colley, and he has kind of stepped up in my mind as one of my new personal favorites. Dallas Clark was my guy before, the guy I wore my jersey for, go Dallas, obviously not with us anymore. So I've chosen to replace Dallas Clark's jersey with Austin Colley. What are your thoughts about him this year?
I really like Austin. I like how he's handled the move to the outside. They've shifted him to an outside receiver spot. I think that's going to be beneficial to him and the team, particularly beneficial to him in terms of staying healthy. No more slot running down the seam and getting drilled by safeties and corners. They've actually tinkered with the offense, and Colley's outside. When they go three wide receiver offense, Reggie Wayne moves into the slot and roams around all over the place. And that's the way Reggie played when he was early in his career, first, second year. And Reggie's very smart, knows how to avoid coverage and run smart routes and get open. And so I think it'll be great that Austin's outside. He says he's excited about it. The guy is 1 year removed now from concussion problems, full season removed. And he's obviously put that behind him. And I think his career is promising again. I think it's on the up and up. I think Austin Colley fans have a lot to look forward to with him.
All right, Josh, $2 bill. Josh, we're talking with Phil Wilson. Bounce it off Phil of the Indianapolis Star.com. Jay Graves is standing by also, but we'll get to him here in just a minute. But go ahead, Josh. Any thoughts for Phil on tomorrow's game?
Well, I've had the privilege to be up to camp a couple times, and there's three plays that really impressed me, Phil, and I want to get your thoughts on them. I'm really impressed with wide receiver Chris Adams. I think he could be an absolute star in this league if given time to develop. I've also been impressed with Vic Ballard. And this is a little under the radar. Not many Colts fans even know this trade took place. I can't remember exactly what we gave Philadelphia, but to get that Greg Lloyd, and I want to say his last name is Mosco, the linebackers from the Eagles, they both look really good. What are your thoughts on those four players, Phil?
Yeah, Moise Faku, I don't know how to pronounce his name either, but he stuck his nose in there already and had some hard hits and pads, and there's a reason that Grigson went out and got linebackers to help, and both those guys are fly around and hit and destroy people type guys. Moise is he started 22 games in as the Eagles, so he's got some experience, and I wouldn't be surprised if he pushes to get in the lineup. Vic Ballard is going to make this team, I'm pretty sure. He's got that size and that speed, and you know, I think that they're nervous about their running backs, is why they went out and got Mwelde Moore, you know, a veteran from Minnesota and Pittsburgh. But Ballard is going to, you know, have to bide his time and wait for an opportunity, but I think he's going to be solid. And, you know, Chris Adams is the guy that I put on the radar to start the second week of camp because I saw him make a behind-the-back catch, stretch his hand back and snag a ball one-handed over the middle, and it got my attention. And then he jumped up over two corners in the end zone and got a jump ball from Drew Stanton and a bomb for a touchdown. And I'm looking through the receiver numbers, and I'm pretty sure you got Wayne Colley, Donnie Avery, and then you have LaVon Brazil, the late round pick that's been showing some speed, and then T.Y. Hilton's been pretty darn good too. So you got five receivers. The question will become whether they keep six or whether Adams can beat out Brazil. I don't think he will. I think it's a matter of whether they keep six receivers. They might do that because T.Y. Hilton's a return man. And return guys, they can sometimes be perishable items, and they get dinged up and hurt, and he's a rookie. So, but I've been on Chris Adams. I've put him on everybody's radar a little bit by writing about him. I've talked to him a little bit. I know he's got a mom and dad daycare. His mom and dad run a daycare down in Texas, and all those kids and family and friends are cheering for him and pulling for him, and it's a nice little story that you know, he bounced around practice squads last year, and he's got size and speed, and he really certainly has every bit of a chance to make this team. You never know what's going to happen in the preseason games, but I think we'll be seeing a lot of him in these preseason games.
Well, we're joined by Phil B. Wilson of Bounce It Off Phil of IndyStar.com. Love his column. Phil, I got to ask you, and maybe I just am not an observant kind of guy, but is this cartoon character, is that new?
Gary Varvel did that of me, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and they wanted to put that in there. I liked the picture that I had before because it was done in a studio with lighting and everything, but Gary Varvel is so talented, and it doesn't make me look as fat as I am, so I'm cool with that. I fit the blonde hair, so I like it.
I like it, Phil. I think it really does. It fits. It's a good choice. Jay Graves of the jaygravesreport.com is joining us as well, obviously, for the Hot Joint of the Week. We're running just a little bit late with Jay. But, Jay, did you want to jump in on the Colts conversation at all?
No, man. I think Phil's doing a great job. I'll probably see you tomorrow, down at the place. But I love your work, buddy.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, well, here's a couple questions why we still got you, Phil. Who's going to win out at the running back? That's a big question that I think every fan's asking themselves. Obviously, head coach Coach Pagano, I think, likes a four-year pro Donald Brown. I'm not a big fan of Donald Brown, and I know that the offensive coordinators, they're kind of looking at DeLon Carter, Vic Ballard. You know, obviously, I like Carter. He's a rookie, but I think he's got a lot of talent, and I think that he fits more into what the Colts are wanting to do. But who am I when Chuck Pagano says that he likes Donald Brown? So what are your thoughts?
He's got to say that because that's the guy that did the best last year, and that's who he's listed as first in his depth chart. But I don't buy it. I don't buy everything I'm told. This is a running back by committee. Donald Brown is a specific skill set, and it involves, you know, hitting the hole hard when it's there, but bouncing out side wide and using his speed. And they're going to try and cater some of the run plays to his skill set. But they're going to want to run with power. They're going to want to run with DeLon Carter. Maybe Vic Ballard gets a chance to run that way too. Their numbers are so close, 33 and 34, Carter and Ballard. You almost say, who is that? Was that Ballard or Carter? And they both look a little alike. But and Moelle Moore is your insurance policy. I think he probably makes this team because Bruce Arians knows he can count on him to do anything, whether it's third down back or be a primary back. So the question becomes, did Desi Kareem knock his way into it? Does he factor into the equation? I don't think they're going to keep five backs. They'll probably keep four. But if somebody gets hurt or if DeLon Carter starts fumbling, then, you know, you open the door for maybe Kareem to steal a spot. But that's really the shakedown in a nutshell. And it really will be by committee. If people think it's going to be a one-back team, and I've heard so much of that in off-season, preseason, local radio here in Indy's mentioned Brown so much, and I'm trying to tell people, did you forget that he can't block? I mean, he cannot block. I mean, he's never been able to block. And believe me, these guys will see that right away, and that's a liability. And would that be in the case? It's going to limit how much time he's on the field, you know, and especially in passing situations. I mean, still serviceable, still a good back, but not a great back. He's never lived up to the pick.
Well, absolutely. Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
Okay, so not many Colts fans know this, and I personally hope this doesn't happen. Now, near the end of preseason, I think the Colts are going to look to see, okay, if by some miracles, there's some running back better than Donald Brown available. So is there any chance Gregson might call up a guy and say, okay, I'm not promising you a spot. I'll give you a contract, but you have to come and earn it.
Well, I love Joseph. I love Joseph for his unselfish nature. Joe is like Edgerrin in that he didn't care how many touches he got. He'd do whatever. And Joe was a pretty good blocker, too. Nobody was as good a blocker picking up blitzers as Edgerrin James. But it disturbed me a little bit that Adai obviously failed a conditioning test out in England and got cut immediately. I don't know if something's still bothering with his injury risk, but you'd think the Colts would work him out. You know, they have those Tuesday workouts. You think they'd look at him a little bit to see how healthy he is, because I can't believe Joseph Adai wouldn't be worth taking a look at. I mean, again, unselfish, does whatever you want. I mean, he's perfect for this team on the remodel mode. And, you know, I always enjoyed talking to him. And, I'd love to see it. Now, teams will oftentimes in the rebuilding and moving forward, they don't want to go backwards. They don't want to go back to guys that they got rid of. And I understand that, but Joseph's sitting somewhere, and if he's healthy, I would think he could help out.
Well, we're talking with Phil B. Wilson of Bounce It Off Phil of theindystar.com. A couple more questions for you, and we'll let you go here, Phil. Here's my thing, and as we break down and we do our own analyzation of players, obviously Pagano and the team have a much better insight of who to pick. Wide receivers, Wayne and fill in the blank here. Austin Colley, I like. As I said, he's going to be I'm going to be sporting his jersey. But I like some of the new rookies. I like Brazil and Hilton, Avery. You know, and here's the thing. I don't know that Austin Colley's a run deep kind of catcher. So is when you're third and long, is it luck to Wayne, or are we going to see a mix up there to Avery, Brazil, Hilton, and Colley?
Yeah, you're going to see a mix. You will. And for starters, it's going to be Colley and Wayne, because they're going to run two tight ends this offense. Bruce Arians likes a two tight end offense. So you're going to see Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen on the corners. And when they go three wide receivers, like I said before, Donnie Avery is the first choice to go outside wide, and they move Reggie around. Then it becomes, when do you get Hilton on the field? When do you get Brazil on the field? Both of those guys have gotten deep and burned people in camp. Luck seems to throw a deep ball every practice and beat somebody. Now, somebody would say, and a lot of Twitter followers have said, well, it's against Colts defense, that's secondary, so that's not saying much. But I like the fact that we've seen it consistently, that he's thrown that deep ball and he's hit Brazil, he's hit Avery, he's hit Colley, he's hit Wayne, he's hit Hilton. I mean, Hilton's shown some decent hands for a little guy. So you're going to see all of them at some point. You know, guys get hurt and guys, you know, get a chance to play. And you just never know when that's going to happen. But I do think Hilton and Brazil will get their chance at some point. people clamor for him if they don't play a lot initially. But at some point, they're going to get their shot.
All right, Phil B. Wilson, real quickly. You know, Indianapolis is morphing from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense. Obviously, Dwight Freeney moving from an outside linebacker along with Robert Mathis. A different role for those guys. How big of a factor is that going to be?
Yeah, it's a big factor. They're making Freeney what they're calling him as a rush linebacker, which means he's primarily going to rush most of the time. That's what we expect anyway, and that's what every team that schemes for the Colts is going to expect. They're going to expect Dwight Freeney to rush from the outside. There'll be times he drops back in coverage just to throw a new wrinkle into it. Robert Mathis has actually got the perfect skill set to play outside linebacker. He says it's still not there yet. He's still learning, but I like what I've seen from him. I like his speed. I like how he covers guys. You know, he'll pick it up. They'll get comfortable with it at some point. But primarily, people should still expect, and I know opponents will expect, those guys coming off the edge and pressuring the quarterback.
All right. Well, Phil, we've got to let it go because we've got to jump over here to Jay Graves. But real quickly, fantasy players, which we're going to get into the fantasy football huddle here in just a minute, but fantasy players, owners, should they steer clear of any Colts players? A lot of professional people out there saying that maybe the one guy you'd want to look at is Wayne, but other than that, stay away from all Colts this year. Thoughts?
Well, I won't be a bit surprised if Luck is a good fantasy player, because I think they're going to throw more than people expect. I really do. And they've got great wide receivers. The strength of this team is throwing. And those two tight ends, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they stay healthy. They could get 40 catches each. I think he's going to use them both a lot. I think Bruce Arians is a dollar number a lot. So, yeah, it's going to be spread out a little thin with wide receivers. But, you know, every time I think Reggie's going to drop off, I mean, he puts up good numbers. And Austin Collie had decent numbers last year, too, 60 catches or whatever it was. And he's got 17, 18 touchdowns in 3 years. So, not your primary go-to guys early in a fantasy draft, but if they're still there middle rounds or even late rounds, I mean, I don't think you hurt yourself by taking one of them.
All right. We're talking to Phil B. Wilson. Phil, where can people find your work and your masterpieces at?
Okay, thank you. That's very kind of you. PWilson24 is the link that I on Twitter. I post all my links to my stories. I'm on Facebook at Philip B. Wilson. And there's a star page with the period after the B, and then there's just a regular Philip B. Wilson, regular Facebook address. And you can email me at philip.wilson@indystar.com. philip.wilson@indystar.com. And I do try and respond to all emails, good and bad. So I'm here for the fans, and I thank you for giving me the time to talk.
All right, Mr. Phil Wilson of Bounce It Off Phil of indystar.com, guys. We'll be right back. When we get back, we're going to have Jay Graves right around the corner from the jgravesreport.com with a hot joint of the week. We'll be right back.
I work out when I walk in the spot. This is what I see. Everybody stops and...
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
This week on Speed Talk, we recap Pocono, talk a little bit about record-breaking history in the NHRA, and we welcome back old friend of the show, Michigan International Speedway President Roger Curtis.
Oh, no, oh, no, hey. I didn't, I always have time for you guys. No.
Calm down, man. Calm down.
Went from being like the Ed McMahon of your show to I haven't been on now in, what, 5-6 years?
Oh, that hurts. Yeah, that's Beach Ball, just so you know.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Mm-hmm.
my minions. Welcome back. It is Saturday morning. You're on the world's number one internet sports talk show, coast to coast on Saturday morning. Grab your coffee, grab your sack, sit down, guys, because we're just beginning. The hot joint of the week, Mr. Jay Graves. Holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy, my man. What's going on with you?
Man, I'll tell you what, it's been one of those Saturdays where every button I push was the wrong button. And even though it just, I don't know, man, it just, the day started off bad, but I think now that we've got you on the air, we're good, and, we're awesome. So $2 Bill Josh is joining us as well today. So, guys, we got the hot joint of the week, and, Jay, you can stay around, but we're literally going to go straight from the hot joint of the week right into fantasy football huddle. So go ahead, Jay, what do you got for us today?
First of all, what's up, $2 Bill? I hadn't talked to you in a while. What's going on, man?
Josh, are you there? Hey, well,
he must have dipped out on you for a minute. Hey, well, look here, man. We're going to get into the hot joint of the week. I know you and I hadn't wrestled in a while, so we got to wrestle a little bit today. I got a little
ready.
Bit for you.
Bring it on,
the
brother.
Joint, the joint today is called American Jealousy. Let me tell you, I was in Jamaica last week sitting around the pool with all the Jamaicans watching track and field, Olympic track and field. Now, and I tell you what, you got to give the Jamaicans their props. They are handing the Americans their lunch and throwing it back in their face. I mean, I'm blown away this week about all of the guys on television, on ESPN, Around the Horn, NFL Network. All these guys are basically hating on Usain Bolt. Here's the deal. This guy runs a 9.63 in 100, then turns around and runs a 19.32 in the 200. But all people can say is, well, I bet he can't play football. He's not a football player, bro. He's a sprinter. You know, he's from Jamaica. Even if he played a different sport, he would be playing soccer. He wouldn't be playing American football. It blows my mind that Americans are so arrogant and so arrogant that they can't just give a man his props for being good. Now, you also saw where Carl Lewis came out this week and pretty much suggested that Usain was dirty. You know, you have to. He doesn't want to believe what he's doing until we get the drug test back, etc. But what folks fail to realize is Carl Lewis came up dirty three times. And so my thing is, hey, give a guy his props until he comes up dirty. Now, if he comes up dirty, then it's a whole other conversation. But when you hear guys saying, "Well, I bet he can't play football." Well, the guy is a football player. We also heard guys on Around the Horn the other day say, "Well, Kenny long jump. Quit trying to find places to beat the guy up and just say he's a sprinter. He runs the 100 and the 200. He's won the Olympic gold twice in each event." Then you hear Chris Johnson from the Tennessee Titans the other day say, "Well, I bet I could beat him in a 40-yard dash." The guy doesn't run the 40-yard dash, man. He runs the 100 and the 200. Just give him his props. What's your thoughts, man?
Here's what I like about – I know who you're talking about, the Bolt. And the thing is, would we even be talking about him if he was? Would we even be? He's great in his own sport. I'll admit he's not a football player. He's not, you know. But you also look at the guy with no legs that's right up there with him. You know, I think that he could be the fastest man in the world. I'm not saying that he's not. I'm saying that we only get to look at him every 4 years. So we don't know what he is and what he's not.
Go ahead.
No, but when we talk about and you're talking about the cyclists, right, that they found dirty and then there were some issues back in Athens and they brought it back up now and then he tested positive so they ended up actually giving the medal to the Russian. That's who you're talking about, right?
Yeah, you know, just, I mean, these things come up. because we're always going to be, I guess, somewhat skeptical. Someone breaks a record, or does a, you know, just come out of nowhere and starts winning, etc. But you have to wait until either A, the guy comes up dirty, or somebody beats him. But if he doesn't come up dirty and nobody beats him, then you got to say, hey, this guy's the greatest of all time, simply because the good thing about running track, you can't talk about different defenses and the way the game is played and it's changed now. No, no. Either you fast and the time will say that you are, or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, you know, you can't say that he's not the greatest to ever run, because nobody's ever run as fast as he has.
I could beat him in the 200 meter. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Man, if he gets the way between me and my steak, brother, then yeah, I can.
You gotta give him his props. And it was so funny, you know, sitting around watching the Olympics and watching the reactions of Jamaicans last week, as opposed to sitting around with a bunch of Americans. You could see where people were. They were having fun. Everybody was having fun, but everybody was saying, "Yeah, that, you know, we got to stick it to them, because these guys don't give us our props. They don't give us our due." You know, when Carl Lewis was running and winning, and when all these other guys were winning, you know, they give them all their props. But when we come out and win, there's a problem. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I can't argue with you. That's exactly right. You can't start bringing up different topics and saying, well, I bet he can't play football. I bet he can't, you know, long jump. I bet he can't beat me in 100. Like, dude, are we so arrogant that we just can't say, hey, man, this dude just gave us our lunch?
Well, here's the thing, and I agree with you. He very well might be the fastest guy on the planet. I mean, I have no doubt that a guy from Jamaica could be the very fastest guy ever. You know, which surprises me because he's not from Africa, but that's neither here. He's not a Kenyan, or I'm just kidding. But you know, I think what your whole point is he, if I'm following you correctly, what you're talking about is he doping or is he not doping? I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And what we're also talking about, you know, is he mentioned in this discussion because he is the fastest man on the planet? Are we saying I don't know. I don't know how is it Bolt's duty to prove that he isn't doping? I mean, unless
Here's the deal. Like I said, unless he comes up dirty, you got to give him his props. I mean, and it's mind-blowing that people keep saying, well, he may be the fastest guy. He is the fastest guy. No one has ever run the times that this guy's running. So, therefore, he is the fastest. It's not subjective. It's all fact. I mean, when you look at they even showed the other night, I don't know if you saw the graphic, but there was a graphic there where they showed all the times of the guys that have run and won the 100 meters, the major guys like Carl Lewis and Jesse Owens, et cetera. This guy would have beaten Jesse Owens by 22 meters. He would have beaten Carl Lewis by like 15 meters. Now, unless he comes up dirty, he's the man.
So what do we do if he does?
Well, let's
I mean, come on, people don't eat that fast. I mean, we look at American sport and we look at how we just this whole steroids thing, and then we've talked about it with this recent issue in racing in Almendinger, and we talked about that. The thing is, if you're using performance enhancing drugs, then you're not all that. But at the same point, I'm with you there, Jay.
If it hasn't been proven that he's doing it, then you can't suggest that he is. Because that's just like me coming out saying, well, I think Michael Phelps is dirty. Because nobody can just come out and win the way this guy's winning.
Well, if you didn't see me drinking beer last night, but I was acting incredibly intoxicated, you could make the assumption that I was drinking, but maybe I wasn't.
You're exactly right. But I can't make the assumption that that Michael Phelps or Usain Bolt is doping if I haven't seen the needle syringe or any evidence that he has. Because just because he's better than everybody doesn't mean he's doping.
I can interject for a minute.
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I agree with you about Usain Bolt. Now, Jay, we could all assume, based on Michael Phelps' history, there's a good chance he was smoking a little dope last night. Not the type that they're trying to say Usain Bolt was doing, but...
I don't know. Maybe Bolt and Phelps are doping together. I don't know. But we know for a fact that Michael Phelps likes the recreational marijuana, the wacky tobacco. So I'm just saying how far of a stretch. The guy's won 20 gold medals. And my guess is the reason why he's saying I'm done is because he wants to sit back and toke with the Jamaicans. That's what I'm saying.
You know, hey, all I'm saying is, hey, I just give folks their props until you prove otherwise that you are what you say you are.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I honestly do agree with you on that, Jay. Until it's come out that he's actually dope and he's the fastest man on the planet. And the thing about it is, well, let's say that it does. Just for conversation here, do you take one gold medal or do you take them all?
Well, you would have to prove that they all. You would have to prove that they're all done by doping. I mean, but let's be honest. Carl Lewis was caught 3 times, but they never took a gold medal from him.
True.
Because they couldn't prove that he was doping during the Olympics.
Well, one thing about it is, guys, we will find out. And I think they're getting better and better.
Yeah. I always say, sit in the cut and wait for it. If it's out there, it'll come out.
That's right. Look at Mark McGuire, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, look at a lot of.
Yeah,
I mean,
and all the discussion now that's coming up with Lance Armstrong. You just kind of sit back and wait. If it's out there, it'll show up.
I know. I'm sitting here using performance enhancing drugs myself. Starbucks, brother. I'm telling you. Well, guys, we got to call that. We got to make this the last and final word. Mr. Jay Graves of the jaygravesreport.com. We're going to jump right into the fantasy football huddle. Jay, do you got to? You got to go or you want to stay around?
Yeah, I got to jump off. You know, I got activities on Saturday mornings, man. So, hey, you guys just keep up with me. Dollar Bill, keep this guy on his game. Don't let him slide off the side of the road.
Got it, Jay.
All right, guys. This is Jay Graves of the jaygravesreport.com. So glad that he could join us. He was out in Jamaica last week. All I know is hopefully he stayed away from the wacky tobacco. Well, guys, hopefully the rest of the guys will join us here in just a moment. We're going to be jumping right into the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. We got hopefully Axel will be calling in and Miles as well, and we're going to talk about, well, fantasy football. We're running a little bit late because we had a little bit late start and things got kind of jumpy at the beginning. But it doesn't matter. For the last 30 minutes, guys, that's right, the fantasy football huddle right around the corner. Stay there.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
Weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday.
It was
chillier last Sunday, absolutely. But it's been nice.
This ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
All right. Well, that means, guys, it's time for Fantasy Football Huddle. My name's Al Presidente, my minions, and yes, Fantasy Football Huddle is back. And we are ready. We are preseason, but we are pumped and we are stoked and we are ready. You know, been a great show so far. If you guys have missed it, you know, Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk joining us. Courtney Force joining us, obviously daughter of great NHRA driver John Force and sister of great Ashley Force. Philip B. Wilson of Bounce It Off Phil of the Indianapolis Star talking some Colts with us. Mr. Jay Graves, never disappointing with us, of the jgravesreport.com, talking about, well, I get, you just had to been there. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Great time with Jay. Always love to get in the boxing match with him as well. But now it's time to get down to business about our fantasy football. Our fantasy football huddle is underway, and we're waiting on the rest of the guys to catch up with us here on the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. But Mr. $2 Bill, Josh, you are with us. Let's talk a little bit about fantasy football. What is the strategy this year? We're getting close to draft time. Obviously, we're going to be making a big announcement this week on the draft night and location of the Balance Fantasy Football League. Obviously, we have a great time every year on draft night. I guarantee you it'll be at a local sports bar here in Indianapolis. And I can tell you one thing, it's going to be bigger, better than ever before. We're really excited and all geared up for it. Josh, what's your strategies for draft day?
Running backs, receivers, quarterback, defense. Tom, speaking of the draft, you remember those two nice guys who went to stop buying us alcohol and food last year at the draft?
Well, I had no alcohol at draft night. We had no. Yes, of course. Yes, I do remember those guys. Actually, that was a wild night, wasn't it? But we did get our draft. Hey, Tom, you remember that guy? Those guys that just kept buying us alcohol. It's a family show, Josh. We don't use any type of performance enhancing drugs on this show, man. To include Coors Light. I take mine cold, by the way, on the big mugs. Just saying. All right, guys. Here's the thing. You know, I always, and we talked about this a little bit last week about, you know, your strategies as far as, do you pick up a running back? You start with a running back. You do your first two rounds running back. Do you do your first round of running back, a second round, a quarterback? When do you pick up your defenses? Obviously, in my opinion, late in the gig there. But let's talk a little bit about some of the key. Obviously, we've got some big team switches, and we look at players like Pierre Garçon is now over at the Washington Redskins, which seemed to have a good connect the other night with RG3. So you look at him, and you look, obviously, Peyton Manning's over at the Denver Broncos. Jacob Tanning's over at the Denver Broncos. Dallas Clark is somewhere else. So a lot of your players are at a different team. And let's talk about that. Also joining us now is Axel. Are you with us, Axel?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Tom?
My brother from another mother. So glad that you could join us. It's been a few weeks. How's things going, sir?
Very busy. My work is asking me to work extra hours if I can. I mean, you just have to kind of like, oh, do you want to do that or do you want to spend time with your family?
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. Either work late, work long hours, or spend time with your family. it's a rough balance there, and no pun intended. All right, guys, what we're talking about here is we're talking about some draft strategies and, you know, what to look at. And obviously, a lot of it depends on how your league is set up. And the way we do things here, guys, on Fantasy Football Huddle, we just kind of do a basic generic blanket. Keep in mind that you must do your own research. Even though I am El Presidente and I do truly know everything, here's what I am going to tell you. There are things that if you take my advice and your league has got a different point structure or a different type of structure, you could be hurting yourself more than helping you. So make sure that you do take my advice and you listen to everything that I say and you do exactly as I say. But if it does not fit into your scheme with your league, make adjustments therefore. So we'll start with you, Axel, a.k.a. Chad. What is your strategy going into to draft night? We're gearing up for that. Do you start with a running back? Do you start with a wide receiver? Do you go first round running back, second round wide receiver, and then third round quarterback? When do you draft your quarterback? What is your strategy when developing or in preparing for a draft night?
Well, you have to look at where your draft position is. If it is one or two, I mean, outside Arian Foster or Ray Rice, maybe LeSean McCoy. There are very few running backs who will produce at the level of 15 points on a weekly basis. So if my draft position is five or six, I'm strongly looking at a quarterback there because the quarterback will produce as much, an elite quarterback will produce just as much or more than an elite running back. And the other thing I look at is when I'm somewhere in the middle of the draft in an 8 or 10 team league, do we have bonus points for the wide receiver catching a 40-plus touchdown or a 40-plus yard reception? A lot of leagues implement bonus points. Other leagues just say, okay, it's 4 points for 40 yards. Whatever yardage you get, divide by 10, and that's how many points you get. So if that is the case, I mean, the wide receiver doesn't trump anything. But if he does have bonus points, for long receptions, wide receivers like Mike Wallace and Calvin Johnson become much more enticing. And even Julio Jones in rounds two or three might become enticing if there are bonus points, because those kind of wide receivers are burners down the field. And the one catch might result in 15 or 20 points for you right off the bat. So those are things to consider. And then if it is a 4 points for a passing touchdown for a quarterback versus 6 points, if it is 4 points for a passing touchdown, I might be inclined to look at running quarterback like Cam Newton at the same level as Tom Brady, because Cam Newton gets way more TDs off his legs, and the rushing touchdown contributes 6 points, whereas a passing touchdown contributes only 4 points in such leagues. So Cam Newton's value compared to Tom Brady would be equal or greater in formats that are in that format. So if it is 6 points for every passing touchdown, then you just kind of like have to go with the kinds of Brady, Brees, and Rodgers over Cam Newton. So those are things I look for. So.
Well, and let's look at when you're talking, and Josh, you could jump in here anytime, and I do want to get into our buy sell trade here in just a moment. But let's look at injuries. I mean, you look at David Girard. Now apparently he's going under some arthroscopic knee surgery. We no timetable on that. Is that bad news on David Girard? Good for Reggie Bush's value as a fantasy player? We'll start with you, Chad, and then we'll go to you, Josh. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, it's actually it is bad for Reggie Bush, in my opinion. Though he might get a lot of carries, he might also see more stacked boxes. So when there is no threat of passing, no matter what the quarterback is, I mean, even Adrian Peterson can only do so much when he's facing stacked boxes of 8 and 9. There's only so much you can do. And so that's why you need to have the threat of passing in order to help out your running back and vice versa.
All right, Josh, what are your thoughts on David Girard? Good news for Reggie Bush's value and team owners that might want to pick up Bush.
Having the starting quarterback out is never a good thing for the running back. He might get more carries, but if you don't have anybody who can stretch the field, then the defense is essentially sitting there waiting on you. Although, I want to get your and Chad's thought on this anyway. It's going to be Ryan Tannehill's show before the year's over anyway. So really, does it really matter that Girard's out? Wasn't he going to lose the job anyway?
It's a good possibility. That's a good argument, Chad.
Yeah, I thought Matt Moore was second in line because Ryan Tannehill was still behind the curve in the offense that they wanted to run. And Matt Moore was the second in line because of being used to the speed of the NFL last year. Ryan Tannehill, I mean, of course, he is the future, but immediate solution might be Matt Moore for them, and then Ryan Tannehill sits for about a year at best. I mean, just like Carson Palmer sat down his first year. And then in a year or two, they will start throwing him into the fire.
Well, you know, I think you could be right about that. We could talk about that all night long. Now, here's what I want to do is I want to kind of get into our buy-sell trade for refresher for you guys that don't remember from last year. Basically, what we do is we decide, hey, at this point, and again, this is not necessarily anything etched in stone, but we go through some players and we decide at this point, if our draft was right now, would I draft him? Which means I would buy him. Would I sell him, which means I would steer clear, don't pick him up, stay away from him, or if I would I trade him, would I pick him up specifically for trade bait. So what I want to do, I'm going to start with Julio Jones, and I tell you what, I got this new thing on NFL.com. You can get it's like $20. It's the preseason live. You can watch every game. And I tell you what, I was like a kid in a candy store the other night. I had it all set up. I tweeted out a picture. You know, I had four or five different games going on at the same time. I had the Broncos, the Bears. I had the Falcons. You know, I had the Patriots, the Saints. I had everything going on. You know, I had the Redskins and Buffalo. You know, just a lot of different games going on one time. I had an opportunity to check out the Atlanta Falcons. I watched Julio Jones. In my opinion, he crushed any doubts about his fantasy value, racking up 109 receiving yards and a touchdown. I think that Matt Ryan made sure that he was involved early. That I like that. So I think that now Julio Jones or whatever you want to call him, JJ, has definitely elevated himself to an elite status. So buy, sell, or trade Julio Jones, Chad.
It depends on where you're buying, but he's definitely a buy because of the fact that he's more, he finally learned a little more to run routes, more than just a go route, the nine route deep. So towards the end of the year, you noticed how his production went up, and against the Colts, he took a slant and took it up all the way. He's got breakaway speed. We all know that, and he's got great vertical ability. And the burner speed down the field as well. So I would buy with, like I was saying before, if your league has bonus points for 40-plus and 50-plus yard receptions, then Julio Jones becomes a round-two candidate. Otherwise, he still is a round-three candidate because of the fact that Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez still are the ones that they move the chain. When there is pressure on the quarterback doesn't have time to look upfield as much. And Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White had the most targets of a wide receiver last year. And Tony Gonzalez had almost the top five targets in among tight ends. So if you factor just those two being on the same team, you're going to obviously practically realize the number of targets is going to be only limited when it comes to game time. And the intermediate throws, when there is pressure on the quarterback, his checkdowns and all this stuff will go mostly to Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez. Julio Jones, as you get closer to the red zone, or when your O-line gives time, Atlanta Falcons O-line is a much better run-blocking, physical run-blocking offensive line than a pass-blocking offensive line. So the time that is necessary for a quarterback for those longer routes to develop will be slightly lesser. So I wouldn't overrate Julio Jones and jump the gun and take him in round two unless you have those bonus points for the 40 and 50 yards.
Well, I like him. I don't know that I would certainly I don't know. I agree with you on that, Axel. I don't know that I would make him a second-round pick. I think you got to pick him up early, though. If nothing else, you pick him up for some trade bait. Josh?
Well, I agree you got to pick him up, but in fantasy, you do not draft trade bait early. You draft trade bait in the middle of the draft. I would not take Julio Jones for any reason before the third round, and if I was going to use him as trade bait, I would wait to see if I could get him in the fourth round.
You know, and I think that's really a key part. You make a very good point there, Josh. When you are picking up your trade bait, you never really want to do that in the first round. I mean, because, you know, when I right now I'm just kind of working on my list a little bit, you know, and I look at how to approach, you know, the first round, you know. And you look at, you know, who do you pick? My strategy's always been to conservatively go with a running back and never pick a rookie on your first round. That's just me. That's just my own superstition. I wouldn't draft Andrew Luck in the first round. You know, so, you know, you prepare your projections and you crunch the numbers. And you know, I think a lot of us, and I think our social media director, Michelle's going to play this year, didn't know anything about it. Those guys usually do the best, or girls do the best. When I think we overthink things a lot of times, and I have a big problem of doing that. But you know, when you look at that third round pick, that is a key role for your team, guys. Let's do a running back. You do a, you know, you do your first two rounds, you're going to do a running back, and your third, you're going to pick up another running back or a quarterback. And you know, of course, there are many experts who believe that NFL games have totally emphasized passing to a greater extent over the last few years, and that you should go after a quarterback who can really do that. And, you know, and therefore they argue that you know, fantasy players, that quarterbacks secure a premier quarterback to secure a premier quarterback early. So, you know, if you go by my strategy, a lot of people are still saying Adrian Peterson still has his mojo. Maybe he doesn't, but if I'm still going to gamble on a guy who I think is going to slip out of a lot of first round picks because they're so caught up in the Adrian Petersons, the looks of, you know, even the young rookies. Right now, I think my number one pick would be the Texans running back, Adrian Foster. You know,
Arian Foster.
Adrian A. Foster. Running back for the Texans. You know, yeah, that's right. You know, I think that he's a good number one pick. A lot of people say that's definitely a number three pick. So let's go on to the quarterback situation. Chad, Axel, when do you draft your quarterback, and who do you draft first this year? When it comes time for you, whether it be your third round, your fourth round, your second round, or even there are those who pick a quarterback on their first round. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers in the first round last year, because I know our league had 6 points for passing touchdown, and you know what a year Aaron Rodgers had last year. And Aaron Rodgers has been super consistent the last 2-3 years almost, I would say, as far as providing fantasy output. Same with Arian Foster and Ray Rice. And you'd have to think that he's got to be at the top, because I still don't think the Packers offensive line can run block, and they don't run as much. So when you don't run as much, gambling on a Packers wideout might be much more harder, but not gambling on Rodgers. I mean, there is no gambling on Rodgers. He's a surefire bet to give you two to three touchdowns every week. For sure, it's like it's great. I mean, that with the yards. I mean, you're almost going to be hitting 25 to 30 points every time with your quarterback. That kind of reliability is amazing, and he's done it over the last 2 years, easy. And I've noticed it when he has been on my opponent's roster, how consistent he is. And last year, I witnessed on my own roster. So, if it is round one, the elite quarterbacks. Like Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, have great value. And but if it is past them, Matthew Stafford, the same thing that Michael Vick had was the issue plaguing Matthew Stafford. He couldn't stay healthy for a whole year till he stayed healthy all year last year. So that brings him into the round two conversation. And then same thing with Michael Vick, too. Michael Vick already, I mean, he's had his thumb injury, and you wonder with the aggressive defenses in the NFC East, everybody's going to be coming after Michael Vick once he gets out. And same thing for RG3. God bless that man. And it's going to be pretty brutal defenses in the NFC East if you look at it, because they got a lot of speed. Over there on the edges, So I would have to kind of think about Michael Vick more like closer to round three because of his injury history. But Matthew Stafford, I might lean in round two. And Philip Rivers also, I think, will have a rebound year. So mid to end of round two, Philip Rivers is there. He might be a good value pick as well.
Well, guys, here's how we're going to get into this buy-sell trade real quickly because I want to try to get through these. Here's how I've got myself set up. If we did draft today, and I'm not saying that I won't change this around, but I'm going to go in my first three rounds. I'm going with a running back. I'm not going to draft at this moment. This could change on draft day. But at this moment, I'm not even going to draft a quarterback until my fifth round. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. Certainly, I have him as my first pick as a quarterback. So what I'm going to do is just kind of go through my picks in my first couple, three rounds, and just kind of lay that out to you guys, and you tell me, you know, if I'm making a good decision or not. Obviously, I just talked with you about Arian Foster with Houston being my number one pick as well. And we can move on to, and again, we're going on the assumption here that these players are available. Of course, we know that a lot of these players will be picked up depending on, you know, where you're at in the draft, as Axel pointed out. So what we're doing here is just on the assumption that he's available at the time you pick him up. That does not necessarily mean, I don't want to get, well, he may not be available. Somebody else already picked me. I'm talking about if, you know, we're just going on the assumption for purposes of conversation that these players are available. Arian Foster, we just talked about. I think he's a great pickup. Let's go with my second pick, and that would be Ray Rice. In my second round, I think he's a good, solid player, and I think he's obviously going to carry a lot of fantasy points. And I think if you don't pick him up early, you're making a big mistake. So we'll start with you, Josh. Ray Rice, buy, sell, or trade?
I bet you're never going to get him in round two.
That's what I was thinking.
I knew you were going to go with that. I said we're going on the assumption that he's available. Okay, I'm just saying I've got my. I know. This would be the perfect world, guys. Okay, I'm saying okay. Let's just say wherever you're at in your draft, if Ray Rice is available,
maybe in a two-team league, Tom.
Why don't we do this? Here's what we'll do. I'll name the name, and you guys say what round you'd pick him up in. How about that?
All right.
If he's available. You guys, we know you can't draft a player that's already been drafted. I think that's common sense. So Ray Rice, Josh, buy, sell, or trade?
Buy in round one.
All right. Chad, buy, sell, or trade Ray Rice?
Oh, yeah, buy round one.
Okay. Round number three, again. Probably gone, but we're just going to go on the assumption here. I should have redid my list here. LeSean McCoy, a running back for Philadelphia Eagles. I like him. I think he's a good, solid player, and I think that he can actually get you some really good points. LeSean McCoy, I got him as round three, but that doesn't mean that's just LeSean McCoy. Chad, buy, sell, or trade?
Buy late round one.
Josh?
Buy late round one or first pick in round two.
Okay. Now, guys, here's one that's probably going to get scooped up in round one. I got him in round four. It's my wide receiver pick. I think he is back. I think I like him. Calvin Johnson, wide receiver for the Lions. You gotta go with him, but I don't know you make him a first round. I've got him as in my fourth round pick. Assuming, again, that he'll be there, Josh, Calvin Johnson, buy, sell, or trade?
I'm definitely going to buy Megatron.
Chad?
Buy Megatron round one. There's nobody in the NFL that can keep up with him.
Well, here we go to my quarterbacks. Now we got to look at, you know, none of these guys are going to be available in round five. But I've got, if he's still available, my first quarterback that I'd like to pick up, obviously, being Aaron Rodgers. We just talked about him, so we'll kind of skip up to the next quarterback that I have in line here because I'm going to draft a quarterback in rounds five and six, whoever's available. And I think that's where I make my quarterback decision at, is in round five or six. I'm kind of going to keep solid on that. But Drew Brees, Chad, buy, sell, or trade?
I would buy late round one.
Josh?
I would buy in round one.
All right. So then I look at Okay, now I've got some running backs. I've got a wide receiver. Do I pick up another wide receiver? Do I pick up another quarterback? I'm going back to my running back strategy because in our leagues, your guys are going to score. Again, it goes back to your points and how your league structure is set up. I'm going back to the fact that I know I can score more points off of running backs. I want to have more running backs than anything else, so I'm going to pick another running back. Again, chances of him not being available, not there. But the point is, you see the flow of where I'm going with my strategy. There's another running back in round 7, Chris Johnson. Josh, buy, sell, or trade Chris Johnson?
I would buy him, but not till round 2 or 3. He's kind of injury prone.
Chad?
I will buy him in round 2.
All right, we go back to, again, I'm going to pick up another quarterback in round 8. I'm not going to be there, but I would certainly look at Tom Brady. Buy, sell, or trade?
Buy. He plays the NFC West this year. Definitely buy round 1.
AFC, Chad, right?
Yeah, no, he plays the NFC West. Oh, I mean, the NFC West has been one of the worst divisions for the longest time, the Rams, Seahawks, and Cardinals.
Right.
So, other than the 49ers, I mean, Brady will light up everybody else like a Christmas tree. So.
Like a Christmas tree. Gonna light them up like a Christmas tree. Josh, buy, sell, or trade Tom Brady?
I would buy him, but I'd have another quarterback for his bye week in the week he plays the Niners.
Well, his bye week, Tom Brady's bye week would be the 9, week number 9. I like Cam Newton as well, guys. What do you think about him? Chad, buy, sell, or trade?
I'm kind of a little scared of Cam Newton for having a sophomore jinx because I kind of saw him, though the Pro Bowl is not played seriously, I mean, he still struggles reading defenses if they do gain on him. I mean, Carolina has not really helped him out by drafting or trading for a good wide receiver. Steve Smith is still the go-to guy, so he will be doing a lot of running, but then there's only so much long you can stick around in the NFL as a running QB, which is why I'm scared of Cam in round 1, but round 2, definitely.
All right, guys, well, we're about out of time here in the fantasy football huddle. And I wish we had some time to get to some of these other. I tell you, I'm just going to kind of run down my list of hopefuls and picks. I got Matt Forte, Maurice Jones-Drew, Darren McFadden, Jimmy Graham, Larry Fitzgerald, Matthew Stafford, JJ, as we talked about a while ago, DeMarco Murray, AJ Green, Akeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and you know, I like Greg Jennings, but now he's hurt, and you know, I'm just going to load up on running backs. So you know, you'll see me try to pick up some running backs, and I guarantee you, if Beanie Wells is there, I'm going to try to pick him up as well. Final thoughts, Axel, we'll go with you real quickly.
Well, I do think that compared to last year during the lockout, people thought it would affect the offenses. Actually, it is the other way. It affected the defenses more because the defenses, if they have to institute more complex schemes, it takes much more time. Quarterbacks at least can improvise when the wide receivers can get open, but defenses, it's like they got to react, but if you have to install complex schemes, it takes the aggressiveness out of a lot of teams that cannot implement those. And you saw a lot of numbers being put up by quarterbacks, and that has elevated or inflated the value of quarterbacks. Though it is still a passing league, I bet you won't find a 5,000-yard passer this year, let alone 2 like last year. So I would kind of lean towards the running backs this year much more. And for my flex, always, it's always going to be a running back. But don't overrate your quarterbacks. Round 3 quarterback and round 2. So.
All right, Chad, we appreciate it, brother. We've come to the end of the clock. We got 30 seconds. Josh, go.
I'm just looking forward to getting out to Lucas Oil Stadium tomorrow to see the Colts' first preseason game. There'll be a blog about it early Monday morning or mid-afternoon.
That's right. Check it out on IndyProSports.com. Guys, that's going to do it. We'll catch you next week. Remember, everybody, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. I'm going to leave the Balance Studios here. We're going to be headed down to the fair and then down to Anderson Raceway to watch Josh Timmerman tonight, guys. So get out to your local racetracks. I want to thank our guests, Phil B. Wilson, also Jay Graves, Courtney Forrest. Great interview there, as well as Cliff Tanner from Radio Speed Talk, guys. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week, my minions. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.